Ahab hides the spies. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men were here, but I do not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who had pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as they heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage and in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God." I only heard one amen. Right there, I should have heard amen. I should have heard it loud and clear. Thank you. That's right. You all know I'd like you to talk back to me. I'm going to try that again. "For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and on earth beneath." Now you're talking. "Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house. And give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brother, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tells this business of ours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by the rope through the window, for her house was on the wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household into your own home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the door of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear." Then she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound a scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descending from the mountain, and crossed over. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." Amen. Amen. If you allow me this morning, I want to talk briefly on the topic, "This is my Exodus." Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord, with bowed head and humble heart. Lord, I'm your humble servant. I am an empty vessel. I ask you to fill me, Lord, right now, Lord, with the message and the words you'd have your people hear, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to let the train of your robe fill this temple with your glory, Lord, as we research and look through your word, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, in this time of peril in our world. We ask you, Lord, to keep us safely, securely in the palm of your hand. We ask you now, Father, that do not leave us in our time of trouble. We bless and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated all over the house. All right. This morning we're going to look at the prostitute Rahab. Amen. She was a woman like you and I. She's living in perilous times like you and I are right now. The children of Israel are camped just outside the borders of her homeland. She's heard the stories. She and all the inhabitants of Jericho have heard the stories that God has given Canaan to the Israelites. Canaan is a lush land flowing with milk and honey, and Jericho was the first stop in Israel's conquest to that land. Just a little bit of background. Joshua was written really by an unknown author. At least parts of it are thought to have been written by Joshua. And we evidence that with Joshua 24:26 that says, that indicates that Joshua wrote these words. It's also indicated that Joshua was written shortly after the events that occurred in the book of Joshua. That's also written because later on, as we read in our verse, that Rahab lives in Israel to this day, or we haven't gotten to that verse yet, but we will. The book of Joshua takes place in about a 10-year span, off and on. It describes the conquest of the promised land to the ultimate division between the 12 tribes. And the entire thing takes place in and around 1400 B.C. Depending on where you research, some people are saying 1200, but most accurately, around 1400 B.C. Moses, God's servant, is dead, and Joshua has been chosen to lead the Israelites into the promised land. The Israelites are back at the gateway of Canaan. They've been here before, some 40 years before. Their disobedience and lack of faith angered God, so they had to take the long way around. How many of us, because of the lack of God and not listening to God's word and to God, have had to take the long way around in our life? I see some hands. Amen, amen. That's right, that's right, that's right. The Israelites are camped outside on the other side of the Jordan in an area called Shittim. It's also known as the Acacia Grove. They've been camped there for some time. Now Joshua, who's the head of the Israelites, he's decided to send two spies. This is a contrast moment from 40 years ago because Moses sent 12. Amen. And I wonder, so how many people know too many cooks make a bad pot? Amen, amen. Okay, that's how they got into trouble the last time. 12 went out and came back, and all but two set fear loose in the camp of Israel. We can't win against them, which caused the children of Israel to doubt God and to sin greatly against Him, and that caused them to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. How many know when God tells you to do something, it's for you? You don't need to listen to anybody else. You don't need to ask anybody else. Your assignment is your assignment. If He sends you, He will be with you. You don't need a co-signer. Matter of fact, God is your co-signer. Matter of fact, He's the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end. You don't need nobody else. Amen? Rahab is a prostitute in a foreign land, a pagan land. What an unlikely place to see God's grace. In those days, there were two kinds of prostitutes, the regular old common everyday prostitute, but there was also a cultic prostitute, which was a religious prostitute. Again, Rahab lived in Jericho, which was a pagan land, and pagan worship often used sexual acts and human sacrifice in their worship. Of course, Israel did not uphold this in any way. It's also thought that Rahab was reduced to prostitution. perhaps by the death of a husband, although none is ever really mentioned, is ever mentioned in the word. Or perhaps she was reduced to it because of her family's poverty. Being a prostitute then was no different than a prostitute now, probably worse, because in a place the size of Jericho, everybody knew your name. Nobody lets you forget your circumstance. Everyone that walked the road of prostitution didn't pick that life. And we should never look down on them, then or now. Amen? Be careful who you look down on. I'm sure Rahab wanted a different life, a way out, a new way for her and her family, a new life. Rahab and her family were probably looked down on because of her profession, her entire family, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, all, your sister's a prostitute. She was probably getting it from all sides. I'm sure mom and dad weren't happy with the circumstance, even though she may have been their financial support. I'm sure many nights, like most of us ladies, she cried many nights, looking for a new hope, looking for a new way out, a departure. Her life had to be a mess, an absolute mess. She was looked down on by the people of Jericho. Jericho was a small but prominent city in ancient times. It was a pagan city. It worshipped idols, was commonplace. But Rahab, I'm sure, was still considered one of her lowest residents. Rahab longed for a moment to breathe. Just breathe, like the rest of us. If she had been the financial support for her family, I'm sure she felt like all of us feel, man and woman, you want to protect your family, support your family, provide for your family. Rahab was under pressure. How many know it takes pressure to make a diamond? We've all been there. Bills are due, health failing, family demands, mom, dad being pulled in every direction. Job is crazy, home a disaster, disease and sickness all around. And we're looking and longing for a moment to escape, a way out, an exodus from this madness. Rahab was one of us, ladies. That's my first point. She was not like any woman of modern day. She loved her family. She wanted to protect and provide for them. She wanted to be everything to everybody. She was being pulled in multiple directions. She was trying to make it the best way she knew how. Let's look at verse 1. Joshua sent 2 spies to survey the land, to check out the strengths and weaknesses of Jericho. Incidentally, Jericho also was called the City of Palm Trees. It was, again, a prominent city. It is still considered the oldest inhabited city in the world today. In ancient times, Jericho was about 400 yards long, about 200 yards wide, and about 70 yards high. It was double walled for security, which was pretty normal during that time. And as small as it was, I can promise you that strangers were noticed. Not to mention that the inhabitants of Jericho were very aware that the children of Israel were camped not far from her borders. Even though the spies tried to blend in, even though the visitors were covered in secrecy, word spread fast and got back to the ear of the king. Somebody snitched. That's really what happened. Because the king's men knew just where to go. Bring out the men who came to you, who entered your house. While her profession was maybe different than you and I, Rahab was no different than you and I. She was like any other woman. She was smart. She was clever. She was resourceful and quick on her feet. Because, ladies, we can multitask. Am I correct? Amen. Amen. Even the men can co-sign. You know I'm telling the truth. We can co-sign. You can co-sign. It's okay. She was juggling multiple things at multiple times, and she was simply trying to survive. She was a quick thinker because she hid the spies. Rahab lied to the king's men in her best voice. Now, ladies, you know the voice I'm talking about. The one that when we get in trouble and we paid too much for that dress, or we overcharge or over the limit on the credit card. They were here. I don't know where they were from, or it was almost closing. The gate was about to be shut, and it was dark. They went out. I don't know where they went, but if you hurry up and go, you'll catch them. You ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, I forgot my husband was here. Now he knows my secret. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Wise. Rahab was wise. She didn't just hide them in a room upstairs in case the king's men checked. She hid them on the roof under stalks of flax drying on her roof. Rahab lied. Yes, she lied. And the Bible clearly tells us Rahab shouldn't have lied. Lying is one of the commandments. We shouldn't bear falsehoods. Amen? So, Pastor, I'm telling them now, you hear me. You all should not go out and lie. The Bible is not condoning lying, okay? Don't come back and say, Rahab lied. It was good enough for her. It was good enough for me. No, we don't lie. Amen? But Rahab did do her best to protect the men Joshua had sent. She sent the searchers one way, knowing she had safely hidden the spies. They were safely tucked away with her. Rahab worked out her faith. Don't think for a minute that the spies ended up at Rahab's house by accident. Rahab was in God's plan all the time. God often uses messy people to do his will. Rahab was a harlot. Noah was a drunk. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Saul killed Christians by the thousands, but he became Paul, one of the greatest apostles. Jonah was disobedient. It took 3 days in the whale to get him to do right. God uses messy people. The prostitute was in the plan. Of the king's men, off the king's men went pursuing down the road to the Jordan, to the ford. They thought the spies would run home to Joshua and to the Israelite camp. Around the Jordan, around Jericho, the Jordan was some hundred feet wide and some 12 feet deep in places. So the king's men figured they had to go down to the ford in order to cross. The ford is simply a narrow, shallow place where they could cross the Jordan. Amen? The gate was shut, so the pursuers couldn't get back into Jericho that night. This would give the spies time to get safely to the mountain. Here's her chance. Rahab had heard the stories. She and many others were scared to death. Rahab was smart enough to realize God had sent her an olive branch, a way out, a possible exodus. She had heard stories from visitors and travelers as they came through to visit her. She's looking to protect her family and to provide a better way. She's going to use what she got to get what she needs. Where is Deacon Ty? Because I know he can tell me who sang that. Amen. Amen. The handwriting was on the wall. Jericho and all of Canaan was about to fall. None of the pagan gods had ever done anything like what Israel's God had done. They hadn't parted the Red Sea. They didn't have a pillar of cloud in front of them day and a pillar of fire at night that went before them. They didn't have manna from heaven or dozens of other miracles that Israel's God had performed. Rahab went to the roof to speak to the two men. I know the Lord has given you this land. In the original Hebrew, she used God's name, Yahweh, which translates to Lord. This is a clear sign Rahab the harlot had come to faith in Israel's God, the living God. God had extended his grace to a foreign prostitute, and she accepted him as her Lord. Terror has fallen on us. All of the inhabitants of the land have become faint-hearted because of you. We've heard the stories, and we've witnessed from travelers your reputation precedes you. Deuteronomy 11:25, there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, and ye shall, as he has said to you. Have you worked out your faith? Because Rahab's working on her faith. Do you open your Bible daily? Do you pray daily? Or is it just when you come into God's house? We're going to jump down to verse 11. Rahab made a dramatic statement here. She declared Israel's God is God. She declared her faith. When we heard these things, all courage was gone from us. For your God is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. She acknowledged him as the sovereign Lord of all. Amen. This is a woman from a foreign land, shunned by her people, and she had only heard about what God had done, and she believed. Blessed are they that have been, that have not seen and yet have believed. That's John 20:29. God is working a miracle. He supplied a miracle in everyone in this house today. If you don't think so, I'm going to give you one for free. You're sitting right here, right now, clothed in your right mind. Amen? I think you can do a little bit better. You're sitting right here, right now, clothed in your right mind. You got here under your own power, whether in your car, on a van, or a bus. God supplied a miracle to you this morning. Because my husband and I both received word this week, the two friends of ours that started the week didn't finish the week. People younger than us have gone on. Amen? Amen? And with the scare of corona all around us, some people are in terror of that. We of faith know God's God. If the hairs on your head are numbered, how much more do you think God has you? We are covered in his blood. If you are a true child of the King, you are covered in his blood. You are in the hollow of his hand. There is no better place to be. I don't want to be in my living room today. I want to be in God's house where I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. Rahab had never actually seen a miracle by God's hand, but she opened her heart to faith in Israel's God, in her God. God is God. I beg you, swear to me by the Lord. Rahab had faith in God, and she had faith that what she was asking the spies to do, to swear in God's name, to take an oath in God's name, and it was a serious matter. Although today, we use God's name haphazardly, any old kind of way, and I'm talking about believers. We're not going to discuss what the outside world does, and how much worse for us, because we know him and should revere him. The third commandment is near the top, so we know it's important. Not that all 10 aren't, but we know this is one of the top three. You know how we do. If it's in the top three, it's important. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Now here's the part I want you to remember and bring to your remembrance the rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of the year, the rest of your life. For the Lord will not hold you guiltless who takes his name in vain. Amen. I want you to think next time you use his name, how you're handling his name. His name means something. He is sovereign Lord. He's not Lord yesterday and maybe tomorrow. He was Lord yesterday, tomorrow, and to the end of time. Until time upon time stands on itself, he will be sovereign Lord. And how we handle his name matters. The spies knew the seriousness of the oath Rahab was requiring them to swear, and Rahab had to believe in the God she was asking them to swear on to. I beg you, swear to me by the Lord. She didn't swear to me. She didn't say swear to me by your Lord. She said swear to me by the Lord. It's personal. She had faith. He is God. It was serious and a solemn oath. Rahab had faith. They would stay. They would stand by the oath they swore in the Lord's name. Rahab put her faith to the test. I have shown kindness to you that you would show kindness to my father's house. Notice she didn't say, just take care of me. Because she could have. Because I'm sure she was shunned by family too. But she tried to make, she made provision for her whole family, her father's house. Give me a true token that you will spare my family. Like I said, she could have been selfish. She could have said, look, just get me out of here and all is good with us. Amen? But she didn't do that. She was looking for a new life for her whole family. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It is also noteworthy, Rahab and possibly her family's lives were on the line by this oath. If Rahab had been found out that she lied and hid the spies, or if her family knew it and kept it a secret, they could have all been put to death. She was putting her faith to the test. She knew that God would sustain her. She had come to that belief. Somebody say, this thing is serious. Thank you. The men answered with an oath, our lives for yours if your family keeps our secret. This is reiterated 2 times, so it's important. If this business of ours gets out, we are released from the oath you made us swear. Rahab let the spies down through the window because she dwelt on the wall of Jericho. As I said earlier, Joshua was a double-walled city, which was normal during that time, and often the wall had connecting walls, and that's thought as to where Rahab lived. Those spaces were used for storage or for poor families, and those are often the spots. Those spots were often used for poor people or poor prostitutes, but just the place to see God's glory in full array. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Verse 16, Rahab sent them to the mountains. The only mountains near Jericho were to the west, which is the opposite direction. She sent the spies to the east. Stay there 3 days. 3 is significant. It's the number for divine wholeness or completion. The number 3 is the divine stamp on this whole thing. Somebody say God is up to something. This is the second time Joshua's men tell Rahab, we will be held blameless unless. How many know that God always has a direction for you to go? You can't just roll out when God tells you to do something any old kind of way. There's preparation. There's signs of obedience that he is looking for. You bind this scarlet cord in your window through which you let us down. Not just any window, but the window you let us down. And only 3 people knew what happened at that moment. God is up to something. The red cord is without a doubt a sign of the blood, the atonement. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they ate. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Jericho is headed for judgment. Rahab's scarlet cord marked her house just as the children of Israel marked their doorposts and lintels with blood the night of Passover. The blood sets us apart. We can also link the scarlet cord to Tamar. Another one of Jesus's, I gave out that secret if you didn't know it, non-Israelite ancestors. When in childbirth, one of her twins poked his arm out first, and the midwife tied the red cord around his arm to signify this one came out first. Hey, if you want to read that story, that's Genesis 38. That's a freebie on the side for you. Somebody say she's coming out. Joshua's men gave Rahab final instructions. Bring everyone into your house. This is important. Mind you, this is a secret in a small town, small little hamlet. Rahab's family probably distanced themselves from her. Not to mention some of them didn't speak to her. And the whole thing was built on secrecy. In fact, all of their lives depended on that secrecy. Rahab's belief in God put her whole family at risk. Have you ever tried to get your family to come together to do one thing? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, did her family come to belief in Israel's God, or was it simply Rahab? I take my hat off to her, because I can hear them. I'm not going to her house. Why can't they come get me here? My house is bigger. I ain't going to no whorehouse. What? She had her hands full. Amen? No doubt. Amen. That's right. You know. And you're talking about your brothers and sisters. I don't have any, but those who do, I'm sure it's way worse when you're talking to your siblings. That's just how I see it. At this point, amen. I just got somebody to signify that I told the truth. Amen. At this moment in Rahab's life, she probably thought she was in a worse position than before, trying to get all these people. The chaos that was in her life was worse than she had ever seen it before. But remember, It was not just her family, but their belongings too. She had to squeeze all this stuff into one place. Sometimes things are worse than they seem. We like to blame Satan. Satan is in the middle of, oh, Satan is on my heels. Satan is running after me. Sometimes I submit to you, it's the potter molding his clay. Perhaps he's moving you towards a new thing and he has to get you ready for that new thing, that new way, that new day, that new life. Just breathe. Put your faith first. Rahab the prostitute put her faith first, not heartfelt it. She put her all into it. God's word tells us to have the faith of a mustard seed. Most of us know how big a mustard seed is. From here, you wouldn't be able to see it. He's not asking a lot from us at all. And that faith can move a mountain. You can say, mountain move, and it has to move from in front of you. I'm a living witness that it does. Amen? Amen. Rahab put her whole heart into her faith. She had only heard second and third hand about Israel's God. She put her faith to the test. Faith without works is impossible to please God. She hid the spies. She lied to the pursuers. She put her life and the lives of her families on the line, trusting in a God she only heard about. Now she had to get them all together under one roof. Rahab is working her faith out. The spies departed, and Rahab tied the cord to her window, a sign of faith in Israel's God. Yes, her God. The men did as Rahab said. They went to the mountain for 3 days, came down, crossed the Jordan, and returned to Joshua. This time with a good report. Truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants are faint-hearted because of us. Rahab's house was better than the Wall Street Journal. Because they got all they needed from one stop. Amen. Here's the conclusion to the whole matter. Joshua 6:22-25. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all the relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the spies whom Joshua was sent to spy out Jericho. Rahab's faith made her an overcomer. Those verses are self-explanatory. Rahab's faith saved her whole family. Her faith set her and her family on a new path and on a new life. Her faith set her free. Her actions, her faith caused her to be remembered by God. Rahab went on to marry Salam, who said to have been one of the two spies and who was a prince of the house of Judah. Their descendants, their child was Boaz, their grandchild was Obed, their great-grandchild was Jeff, their great-great-grandchild was David, as in King David, and their great-great-great-grandchild was King Solomon. And the rest you should know. From her one act of faith, Rahab the prostitute put herself in line to be the great, 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 more greats than I have time to say right now, grandmother of Jesus Christ. That came from a harlot. Her faith, Rahab the harlot's faith, was such that she is mentioned one of only two women mentioned in Hebrews 11, which is called the chapter of the Hall of Faith. She's mentioned with Sarah. Now that's good company, don't you think? By faith, Hebrews 11:31, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. The prostitute, her faith was her way out of the madness she was living in. It was her exodus.